Hello and welcome to the USGS Oregon Science Podcast for Tuesday, August 25th, 2009. I'm Steve Sobieszczyk. For today's show, we'll be discussing a recent study that examines the presence of pharmaceuticals in urban streams in the Tualatin River Basin here in northwestern Oregon. In fact, the findings from this report are available today. You can view the report online by following the link in our show notes, or head over to the USGS Publications Warehouse and download the report directly at pubs.usgs.gov/sir/2009/5119. As modern science and medicine develop new and more effective pharmaceuticals, the amounts of these drugs being used has skyrocketed. Increased use of these drugs, everything from caffeine to codeine, has led to increased concentrations of such compounds in our streams and rivers. In the last few years, a number of studies have been performed to determine the source, transport, and fate of such compounds. Joining me today to discuss one such project is hydrologist Stuart Rounds of the USGS Water Science Center in Portland, Oregon. Thanks for joining me, Stuart.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
First off, can you describe what type of pharmaceuticals you tested for and why?
Certainly. There were 21 different compounds that we were testing for. And these pharmaceuticals ranged from painkillers to antibiotics and antihistamines. They cover most of the most commonly used pharmaceuticals in use in the country today. And we also had to have some considerations for the types of compounds that we could actually test for.
So what kind of results did you see? What were the concentrations?
Well, we actually had some good news. Most of the study was targeted towards determining how many of these compounds and what concentrations we could find in many of the urban streams in the Tualatin River Basin. So we took a lot of samples from Fano Creek, which starts in the city of Portland and then winds its way through the edge of Beaverton and Tigard and Tualatin. And we actually found very few compounds. The most commonly detected compounds we found were caffeine, which of course you find in coffee and lots of caffeinated beverages, as well as some pharmaceuticals. The other compound we found most abundantly in the urban areas was cotinine, which is a metabolite or a human byproduct of nicotine. So it's derived from people who smoke. Those two were the most common we found in urban areas. And most of the concentrations that we found were very low, very low concentrations below 1/10 of a microgram per liter.
How is it that these chemicals made it into the streams? Is this a product of manufacturing, or is it more of a byproduct of people and their use and consumption of the pharmaceuticals or drugs?
Probably the most common source of these types of chemicals in streams would be through a wastewater treatment plant. Now, many of the streams that we sampled don't have wastewater treatment plants upstream. So in Fano Creek, when we find caffeine and cotinine, those are from kind of dispersed urban sources. So if somebody takes their cup of coffee and they dump the remains of that coffee cup in the street gutter, well, that's going to be washed eventually into the stream, and that helps you find caffeine in the stream. Same thing with cotinine. When somebody smokes and discards their cigarette butts, that stuff's going to end up in the stream. But downstream of a wastewater treatment plant, there are many compounds that are delivered to the wastewater treatment plant from excretions from human waste that get delivered to the treatment plant, and the treatment plants aren't designed to remove all of that material, so some of it gets through, and if that treatment plant discharges to a river, you will find very trace concentrations of those compounds downstream.
Since we're discussing water quality and potential pollution problems, I'm curious, what is the concerns that these compounds have for fish or for wildlife or even for us?
Well, some of that concern is justified. It depends on where you are and what the concentrations are. The concentrations we found in this study, again, though, were fairly good news because the concentrations were so low that, at least according to the research we were able to find on ecological effects for some of these compounds, it appeared that the concentrations were not of ecological concern. Now, that said, there's very little research that has been done to assess the ecological effects of many of these compounds, especially at trace levels. So the effects are a bit unknown, but for the compounds where we have information, it appears that in this case the effects are minimal.
What about the processing and prevention? Are wastewater or drinking water facilities equipped to deal with these kind of compounds?
Generally, wastewater treatment plants are not designed to remove these types of compounds. They're designed to remove oxygen-demanding substances. They're designed to disinfect against certain biological vectors like viruses and bacteria. They're designed to remove solids and so forth, but they're not specifically designed to remove things like pharmaceuticals. Fortunately, some of the processes in a wastewater treatment plant do remove a good portion of pharmaceuticals. And in fact, we tracked water moving through the Durham wastewater treatment plant. And it turns out that most of the compounds we tested for were removed with probably greater than 75 or 90% efficiency. There was one compound that wasn't removed quite so well. But in the future, perhaps wastewater treatment plants might be redesigned a little bit. There has been some research showing that certain processes may be able to remove pharmaceuticals with a little higher efficiency.
If our listeners are feeling a little uneasy and they want to, you know, be more responsible and reduce their impact, what advice do you have for them?
There are a few things that you can do. First of all, since wastewater treatment plants are not designed to remove these compounds, the first thing you can do is if you have unneeded pharmaceuticals, drugs that are sitting around in your medicine cabinet and you need to get rid of them, don't flush them down the toilet. Since the treatment plants aren't designed to remove them, there's no sense in delivering more of a load to that treatment plant. So instead, there are actually some federal guidelines, some relatively good advice for disposing of your unwanted pharmaceuticals, and that includes taking them out of their original containers, mixing them with coffee grounds or kitty litter, putting them in a sealable bag or an old yogurt container, and disposing of it with your household solid waste. Even better would be to take your unwanted pharmaceuticals to a drug take-back event. Those programs are available in some parts of the country. They're not available in most parts of the country yet, but that may change.
Speaking of that, part of the reason we're here doing the podcast today is to promote a drug take-back event here in Portland.
Yes, that's a good point. Turns out that this Saturday, there is a drug take-back event sponsored by the Portland Police Department that's being held at Eastport Plaza.
Which is off of 82nd and Powell in Southeast Portland. We have links to the event in our show notes, so check there and you can get directions. Well, that's all the questions I have. Thanks for giving me your time, Stuart.
You're welcome.
If you have any questions on this topic or any other water-related topics here in Oregon, feel free to contact us here at the USGS at 503-251-3200. Also, links for this story and other useful items are listed in our show notes, so make sure to check that out. Thank you all for listening. Please check out other USGS podcasts at usgs.gov/podcasts. Until next time, I'm Steve Sobieszczyk. This podcast is a product of the U.S. Geological Survey, Department of the Interior.